Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight as we take the Word of God and learn some things. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you for the way that you're providing. And Lord, we continue, Lord, to want to be used to reach a community for Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be the type of church that you can bless. Lord, help me to be the type of pastor that you can bless, and the people to have a heart to be the type of people that you can bless. And Lord, we just want to be used of God. And I pray, Lord, for the opportunity now as I preach your word. Lord, teach through this that you would give me clarity of thought. Lord, may we learn something that'll help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to teach tonight on this subject, the importance of repetition. The importance of repetition. The importance of repetition. The importance. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I was hoping I didn't have to go 6-7 times before I got a laugh out of that. Thank you. The importance of repetition. Isn't it amazing? You know, sometimes you learn while you're studying the Bible, and sometimes you learn how to learn. Did you hear that? Sometimes you learn when you're studying the Bible, and sometimes you learn how to learn. Or if you are in a position to teach, you learn a little bit on how to teach. And this little phrase here, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe, is just as inspired as, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All of the Bible is inspired. God has a purpose behind every sentence. Every phrase, every word was placed on purpose. The Bible says even the jots and the tittles are there for a reason. Then that's why it's a grievous thing to my heart to see that we have in many of our circles accepted counterfeit Bibles. If you have a subscription to the Bible of the Month Club, you ought to cancel it. And just get a hold of the King James Bible and love it and read it and cherish it and be glad that you have it. But everything is there on purpose. As a student of the Bible, you learn to appreciate this. The more that you understand this, the less you will be in a hurry as you read through the Bible. And I think that we ought to slow down some. You say, Brother Jerry, if you slow down anymore, we're going to be in Philippians when you're 80 years of age. I know that. I understand that. I'm trying, folks. But I enjoy the Bible. I really mean this. I can get a hold of a phrase or a sentence or a verse sometimes, and it's enough for me to chew on for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks at a time. And so we're going to talk about this because... For several reasons. I want to explain to some of you that are more in the capacity of student than you are teacher right now, some of the reasons why it's important that you do what sometimes may seem mundane. And I also want to spend a little bit of time talking to those of you that may be in a teaching position. And by the way, that doesn't mean just a Sunday school teacher or just a teacher at the school. That means a mom. That means a dad. That may mean a position at the job you have, where you work with people that you have to train. I think the Bible gives us a great truth here that's just absolutely true. Paul is in the midst of teaching, but he stops and says to those whom he is teaching to write the same things to you. In other words, what he's saying here is, I'm being a bit repetitious. I'm covering some ground that I'd already covered. I'm hitting some things that I've already hit. But I'm writing these same things to you again. And then he goes on to say this, to me indeed is not grievous. You know what? It did not bother the Apostle Paul one bit to repeat himself. It didn't bother him a bit because he knew this. But for you, it is safe. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about the importance of repetition, and I want you to listen to me. Mamas, this will help you. Daddies, this will help you. It'll help you with your children. Teachers, it'll help you. Master's Club leaders, it'll help you. Sunday school teachers, it'll help you. Anybody that works in any capacity to try to teach anybody anything, it's going to help you. Let me just give you this because I'm convinced that, let me give you this first of all. Number one, I think probably the greatest key to learning is repetition. Repetition is the greatest key to learning. And let me just say this. If you're going to teach someone something, then you have to be willing to repeat yourself. Now, by the way, you need to begin to start doing that with a good spirit. Paul says, for me, it's not grievous. Now, get this, adults. All of us adults, listen. We have forgotten a lot of times. Mamas, you've forgotten because you can barely remember what it was like to be 2, 3, and 4. How many times do I have to tell you? I just told you that. I explained that to you. You know what? You are repeating what your mother said to you. I promise you that. You're practicing repetition without knowing it. It's just a generation removed. Now, what we do a lot of times when we are in the teaching position is we want to go to someone who doesn't know and we want to tell them once. And then we do not want to have to ever repeat ourselves, and we want them to learn it. And you know what, folks? That's the Bible's teaching us something here in this verse, that that's not practical. You need to get off that. You need to stop being bothered by having to repeat. You need to understand that if you are going to be a good teacher or a good mother or a good father, then you are going to be in the business of repetition. Okay? Now, do the repetition. Watch this. Do the repetition. Only subtract from it the frustration. All right? Good teachers know that they're going to have to repeat themselves. Good mothers know that they're going to have to repeat themselves. Good fathers know that they're going to have to repeat themselves. Well, I've told them, Brother Jerry, I know. I know. But you know something? To write the same things to them is safe. And to you, it need not be grievous. Don't allow it to become grievous. It is a part of being a good teacher. Matter of fact, not only should you not let it be grievous, you should have a good understanding that it is probably the most powerful tool that you possess as far as teaching someone or ingraining a truth or a method of behavior into someone. Those of you that try once, twice, three times, I throw my hands up, they just can't get it, and quit and surrender. Listen, shame on you. Did you hear me? Shame on you. Don't quit in frustration. Well, I've taught and taught, and they just can't get it. You just need to teach some more. Well, I've said it over and over. Well, then you're just going to have to say it over and over some more. Because the honest truth is, folks, there's something about all of us, and the Creator who made us knew this, and that's why He gave us this little sentence in the Bible, knew that for all of us to learn something, watch this, to learn something to the point where it becomes ingrained into our character, then we must have it repeated over and over and over and over and over again. Now, by the way, a good teacher doesn't get frustrated about this. A good teacher understands this and doesn't allow this to become a grievous thing to them. Sunday school teachers, let me talk to you. It was interesting. Brother Bo didn't know I was going to teach on this. We got to talking about the fact that we're going through the Ten Commandments. And we are teaching lessons one a week on the Ten Commandments in all of our Sunday school classes. And Brother Bo, we was talking about it, and he said to the teachers and to me, and there he said at the beginning of every lesson, we repeat that week's commandment 5 times. And I thought, well, that's good. Absolutely. Absolutely. You mean the same thing over. This week, it's honor thy father and thy mother. All right? So 5 times in his class, he's going to say that. Now, why not just do it once or twice? I'll tell you why. Because repetition is the key to learning. Okay, when we want the young people to learn a monthly scripture in school, what's the best way to get them to learn that? I'll tell you the best way to get them to learn that. Walk in here and open the assembly every single day of that month and say, let's all stand and let's say our this month's Bible verse together. And after they've done it 30 sometimes in a month, well, actually not quite 30, probably about 25 times in a month, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, out loud, verbal repetition over and over and over again. You know what? The honest truth is the average young person in here does not spend a whole lot of time at their desk having to memorize. By the way, young, you say, I do, Brother Jerry. That's because when you are being repetitious, it's vain repetition to you. It's empty repetition to you. You're not thinking about what you're saying. Okay? And if you do vain repetition, then you know what? Empty repetition, which means no effort involved, no thought involved, will have vain results. Okay? So when you're doing these things, young people, you ought to be thinking through each word and each phrase, not just trying to remember the sequence of words, but trying to gather the truth and the thought. And what? Listen, it's one thing to be able to read, it's another thing to take the, to make the to exert the mental effort to comprehend what you read. It's one thing to repeat something and be thinking about other things while you're just saying words in sequence. It's another thing to be thinking about what you're saying. And so, but the honest truth is, I would say that the core group of students here at the school, if they just get up and say the same portion of Scripture over and over and over for an entire month, verbally out loud, by the end of that month, they can hand a Bible to a monitor and say that. You know why? Because of repetition. Because of repetition, all right? And so Sunday school teachers, we go through the student handbook in orientation. And oh, that's a blessing, isn't it, students? First day of school, we get to walk in here and listen to Pastor Jerry go through about 3 or 4 hours of orientation. Now, the honest truth is I can go through that, and I do, and I think we need to. But the honest truth is it's more material than they can absorb. So I say to our teachers, we don't take the first day and go through the handbook and then take the handbook and put it on the shelf and never touch it again. I said, I'm going to go through the entire orientation. Now, you ought to weekly and sometimes maybe more than once a week pull the handbook off, say, let's review a section, let's review a section. What are you doing? Repetition over and over and over again. Sister Mrs. Terry Reiser a few years back when she, went into the elementary learning center. And the one thing that I felt like we were missing that we used to do pretty strong, and you know, sometimes it wasn't Sister Terry's fault. She was doing exactly what we'd told her to do. But one of the things that I felt like was lacking was the verbal repetition of the basic core phonics charts, multiplication tables, addition tables, subtraction tables, division tables. And so we've got it now where every single time the young people come back from break, before they're allowed to be seated, you can hear them going over and over and over some basics, the English basics, the math basics, the phonics basics. Say, why did they say these same things over and over? How many of you high school students, isn't that a blessing? When you're in that class and you hear these kids go into these repetitions over and over and over and over and over again. By the way, let me share this with you. I've got seniors that just graduated that could get up here, and maybe it'd be a good idea for them to do that, and repeat some songs that they learned in elementary. What's the one song I always give you a hard time about? The owl? How's it go? Come on. Help me out here a little bit. Yes, you do. You're just scared I'm going to have you come up here and do it. So, let's see. What is it? Over in the meadow where these whatever. Well, sing it for me. I want to hear it. All right. You know it, don't you? Do you know it? Who knows this song? Well, the part I remember is when they blink, you know, blink together like that. Now, I've got seniors that can get up here. Well, I thought I had seniors that could get up here. and sing that. We were kidding about it during graduation, but isn't it amazing that they were 5 years old in kindergarten and something was repeated over and over and over and over again? One of my girls, I said one time, we were teaching an English class, and I was brave enough a few years back to say, all right, I've had it. I don't know why they don't know their 8 parts of speech. They're going to know them. So I pulled everybody in the English class and decided we were going to teach them. I had a good time. But one of my daughters, I said to her, trying to have everybody memorize the prepositions. And one of my girls just rattled them off, the entire list of prepositions. And I said, wow, how did you learn that? And she said, Miss Eichelman back then, Mrs. Bovenshin, taught us a little song with the prepositions. And to this day, and they sing it over and over and over and over again. Now, folks, the honest truth is, are you learning something here? Are you learning something? Listen, church member, don't get frustrated when your Sunday school teacher or your pastor gets up and goes to a portion of Scripture and repeats. I've heard a message on this. Well, you need to hear it again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And so it's very important, a part of learning. Now, parents, listen to me. I'm on point number one. I've got 5 points. They won't all be this long, okay? But I will repeat them over and over again. By the way, take a sermon tape and pop it in. Go listen to a CD. How many times your pastor repeats the same phrase, goes back and reviews the main points, says them over and over. Why? Because I'm trying to get you something. I'm trying to get you to learn something. Okay, I'm trying to get you to learn something. Parents, listen to me. Somehow we can remember this when we're a Sunday school teacher. We can remember this when we're a school teacher. And repetition, but you know, listen to me. Those teachers don't go in there and teach the preposition song or teach the basics. And then, you know what? They come back a week later and it's in their lesson plan again and they say, I can't believe I have to teach this. So they don't do that. Well, maybe they do. I don't know, but they shouldn't do that. You know, by the way, if you look at a year's worth of English, if you take, let's say you take third grade English and you went through the whole thing and then you looked at fourth grade English, you know what you'd find out? It's a repetition of third grade English with a little more extended, a little more extension in some areas, maybe going a little deeper in some areas. Guess what fifth grade English is? Guess what sixth grade English is? Guess what seventh grade English is? Guess what eighth grade English is? Guess what freshman English is? Now, you know why that's true? You say, well, they went through this, all these things when they were in second grade. Why are they going through it? Because repetition is the key to learning. Now, parents, listen to me. That means that we're going to have to repeat ourselves. And you know what? The Bible says, train up a child. Training involves repetition. Teaching involves repetition. Verbal teaching involves saying the same thing many times over and over and over and over and over again. Now listen to me. You say, listen, if that is always tinged or tainted with frustration and aggravation, let me share something with you. You are defeating the purpose because your child is not listening to what you're repeating. They're listening to your tone of voice. They're not comprehending what you're saying. What they're getting and what is going to their mind is, Mom's mad at me. Dad's mad at me. Mom thinks I'm dumb. Dad thinks I'm dumb. Dad's frustrated with me. And you know what? They're thinking more about that than they are what you're trying to teach them. Oh, I hope you're getting this. The Bible says, by the sweetness of lips, I'm not going to be able to quote this exactly, but there's something about the sweetness of the lips increaseth the learning. I think that's the way it says in Proverbs, sweetness of the lips increaseth the learning. And you're going to have to repeat. Well, Jerry, I understand it. When I'm 2, 3, 4, and 5, I know. But you know what? You're going to have to repeat some things that you're trying to teach and train your young men when they're 12, 13, and 14. Now, guys, don't use this as an excuse. You ought to learn some things. But, you know, just because you showed them once don't mean they're going to remember every step, especially if it's multi-step tasks. And that's just part of raising children. And so don't get frustrated by doing it. If you're frustrated in your repetition, they're not listening to what... I hope you got that. If you're frustrated in your... By the way, Sunday school teachers, it's the same thing. School teachers, it's the same thing. If all they're hearing in your voice is frustration because they have to go over this again with you, then they're not thinking about the problem. They're thinking about the fact that somebody that's in authority over them is frustrated with them. Very, very important. A lot of times we do ourselves well to take a deep breath, back away, back up, come back in, and with a pleasant tone and a smile, and say, listen to me, I'm praying for you. We've gone over this before, but that's okay. You know what? Repetition's the key to learning. Let me go through the steps one more time. Let's see what you remember and what you don't. And you know what, folks? It works. I'm just telling you, it works. And that's part of teaching. It's part of being a good teacher. It's part of being a good preacher. You know, I've said this, sometimes preachers, you know what? There's certain messages that I've preached in Blessed Hope Baptist Church since I've been here since 1994. There's certain messages that I've preached 5 or 6 times. Same message, same outline. Sometimes the same title. Every once in a while I feel guilty about it, so I change the title, but I don't change any of the sermon. You know, that's okay. That's all right. Repetition's the key to learning. Repetition's the key to learning. I think it was interesting. Brother Howell said, and I think it was interesting when we were there in school, he had a preacher's boys class. He said, I've never given this list out. To my knowledge, he never did, and maybe someone knows different. But he said there's 10 basic topics, large topics or subjects. There's only 10 basic topics or larger subjects that I preach on. He said every single sermon that I preach is, you could slot under 10 headings. And he said C.W. Fisk, that was his assistant for so long. And I think that Brother Hiles, and I know that he was my pastor for 8 years, but I don't know if there's anyone in my lifetime that I've ever listened to that was more effective at taking a truth and communicating a truth to an audience where they walked out and they had that truth down. He was very gifted in that. But C.W. Fisk, his assistant, long-term assistant for years, said this about him. They asked him, what's the key to Brother Howell's success? What's the key to his teaching style? Why is he so effective? And he said, I think Brother Howell is so effective because of his willingness to be cheerfully repetitious. Isn't that good? His willingness to be cheerfully repetitious. And so, isn't it interesting? And here's a man that preached at the same church for all of those years, and yet he never strayed from 10 basic topics. Now, they may be several different things slotted under them, but basically he wanted to instill 10 solid things into his people, and so in some way or another he would repackage 10 major truths, 10 major subjects, I should say, not truths, but subjects, and repeated them over and over and over again. And I think that that's good. All right, now let me give you a couple more things, all right? Number 2, repetition is for the benefit of those whom you are teaching. Notice it says in this verse, but for you it is safe. For you it is safe. Now, those of you that were in Sunday school, grew up in Sunday school here, Brother Pastor Ross would do opening assembly. For years did opening assembly. For a lot of years he led singing in opening assembly. And I enjoyed that. I remember when the Bibers were here, and I'm not, Brother Casper does it, and that's fine and good and all this. But when you handed that off, Brother Rusty was so upset, and Sister Sarah was so upset. And they said, those kids, they only have a few minutes with the pastor. I just loved it when he got up there and led them in songs. But, you know, here he would say, how many times, you young people, you know what I'm going to say? Pastor Ross would do what? He'd take this book and do what with it? And he'd say, children, what is this book? What is it? And you'd say, God's Word. And he said, is it true? And you'd say, and if somebody tells you it's not true, they... Now, you know what? You're trained. Good job. You know what? You're trained. Now, let me tell you why he did that. Because for these children in his congregation, it was safe. He was trying to protect them. And so he said the same things over and over and over. He didn't say it one time and said, good, they got that, let's move on to something else. But guess what? They wouldn't have it. For you it is safe. Now, young people, you listen to me. I want you to zero in and listen at me. Your parents tell you things over and over and over again. I know sometimes it gets tedious. I know sometimes, listen to me, you be thankful when they repeat themselves. You say, your mom goes into this, you know, certain subject comes up. She goes into this story. Oh, but mom, you've told me this story 600. All right, I'm going to tell you 601. Listen to me. By the way, for you it is safe. For you it is safe. when you kids got your license. How many of you have your license less than a year? Less than a year. You've had your driver's license less than a year. All right. Okay. You're getting ready to go out in the car by yourself, and you take the keys. And your parents start through the list. And they're telling you the same things over and over. And you're like, Dad, okay, I know what you're going to... I know. Let me tell you something. For you, it is safe. For you, it is safe. You think that if they told you once, you'd remember it. But I've watched some of you drive. I know that's not true. No, for you, it is safe. I mean this. Young people, listen to me. Your parents are repeating themselves. They're not doing that because they're old and senile and they've forgotten that they told you. They're doing it for your safety. They're doing it for your safety. Saying it over and over and over and over again. Now, that's to instill some things. Now, listen to me. Don't get an attitude about that. Don't turn around and roll your eyes about that. Listen to me. Anything that is good and right and truthful that's constantly repeated, you ought to be thankful for it. And it's good for you. It's for your safety. Let me give you the third one. Number three, repetition. By the way, let me have you go to the verse first. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And number one, I said repetition is the key to learning. And so all of us that are teachers ought to be in the business of being repetitious. Every student ought to be thankful and have a thankful heart for repetition. It's good. It's good for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to notice verse number 12, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12. Notice Peter what he says here. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you, what's the next word? Always in remembrance of these things. You know what that? What he's saying, young people? He's saying, listen to me. Every time you see me, there's some things you're going to hear over and over. I'm going to remind you and remind you and remind you and then remind you to remember. You know what? Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, by the way, did you see what he said there? Though you know them. Say, Brother Jerry, I know some things. Why do you keep saying them? All right, I'll tell you why. Number three, repetition helps establish truth in the heart of a believer. Notice this. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Now, boy, this is very important that you understand what you just read there. I think God's dedicated a verse or two here to teach us teachers how to teach. And teach students how to learn. What he's saying here in verse number 12 is, listen, teachers, don't be negligent. Say, oh, Brother Jerry, we're teaching through the Ten Commandments. You handed us that Sunday school lesson series again. Yes, and as long as you're a teacher, down the road, you'll get it again. And a few years down the road, you'll get it again. And a few years down the road, you'll get it again. You know why? Because your children, your students need to hear it over and over and over again. Now, listen, my attitude as a preacher, as a communicator of truth, as a teacher, is this. I cannot be negligent in this matter of bringing to their remembrance, always bringing to their remembrance, key truths. Now, let me tell you why. The Bible says, you say, though you know them. You know what? There's some things that you know, but you won't think of them until you're reminded of them. How'd you get that? There's some things you know, but you won't think of them until you're reminded of them. Now notice what it says here. Though you know them and be established in the what truth? In the what truth? Absolutely. Now let me tell you something about truth. Truth is taught, and it's taught through repetition. At some point you know it. You filed it back. You've got it. You know this is true. You know this. But folks, listen to me. That file drawer gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's supposed to. And bigger and bigger the older you get. And you may know some things that you haven't thought of in years. Have you ever had somebody say, hey, you know what? You know what I learned the other day about such and such? I read in this. And you'll go, you know what? I read that before. I know that. I'd forgotten that. Now, while you're in the presence of that truth, in the presence of that truth, when that truth is being repeated to you, it's no longer a past truth, but again, it becomes a present truth. Did you get that? And so you may know something, but you learned it back here. And the honest truth is, we all are very forgetful. And even though we know it, we may not remember that we know it. A lot of times I'll come to a pulpit and I'll say something like this. I'll say, for some of you tonight, I'm going to teach you something brand new. For others of you, I'm going to just remind you of what you already know. Now, when you hear the subject announced, you're going to put yourself in one of two categories. I've never heard this. Wow, this is interesting. Or I already know this. Now watch it. Be careful. The first time a truth is presented to you, you'll learn it because it's exciting or it's new. You learn more out of emotion. You learn out of emotion. But the second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth, 100th time that you're presented the same truth, you will have the same excitement only if you have the character to have the same excitement. You understand what I'm saying? And so I've heard in my lifetime hundreds of sermons on the second coming of Christ. How many would say, Brother Jerry, I'm probably in that category. Amen. Let me tell you something. If I sit down next week and I sit under a preacher and he preaches and announces the subject, the second coming, I will either be stirred because I will have the character to revisit and allow that to become a new present truth, a reminded present truth. I will glory in the reintroduction of that truth into my life, or I will flippantly say, heard that so many times, and then let my mind wander and be robbed, and watch this, be endangered of not remaining established in that truth. Now, I say something sometimes, and I believe this. I believe it. You see, I think that every time somebody, you know, here's what we do as Christians, all right? Salvation, all right? We went, we heard preaching on salvation. We got under conviction, so we went forward and got saved. Now, you only need to be saved one time. But after that, in our Christian life, we start hearing certain things preached. And when we hear certain things preached, boy, especially the first time we hear it, we're stirred by it. We go forward, we make a decision on that. And then we go back. And then the second time we hear it, we're, well, that's good, that's right. But we don't go forward. Because you know why? We'll say this. Well, I've already made a decision on that. I've already gone forward and decided that. Let's say, for instance, let me just give you for instance. Let's say that you got saved, and then a preacher gets up and preaches against alcohol. And he says to you, I'm going to tell you something, young people. You ought to make a vow to God. You ought to make a promise to God. You'll never let a drop of that touch your lips as long as you live. By the way, young people, you should do that. And so you go forward and you say, Lord, I'm going to make this promise, and you go back. Now, let's say 6 months later, a preacher goes in and he says, I'm going to preach on the dangers of alcohol. Or as I think Shelton Smith has a sermon called The Greatest Terrorist in the World or something like that. And he'll preach again on it. Now watch this. It's easy for you to say, oh, I've heard a message on this. By the way, I've already made a decision on this. I really believe something, folks. I believe that every truth that God presents to you, you will either be established in that truth by making it a present truth in your life once again, or you will not be established. You will not get it ingrained because you'll have this kind of, watch this, know-it-all attitude, already heard that, been down that road, made that decision. Listen, let me just make a suggestion. You hear a sermon on alcohol for the first time. God speaks to your heart. You decide not to ever drink it. You go forward and you make that decision. Next time you hear preaching on alcohol, you know what I'm going to suggest to you? You listen as intently as you did the first time. You go back in your mind and revisit that decision. And it doesn't hurt a bit, folks, from time to time, to go back to an altar and revisit that vow you made, that decision you made concerning the truth. I think some of the truths are just past tense in our lives. And repetition, watch this, is the attempt to take a past truth and reintroduce it to you and make it present in front of you all over again. And listen, I'm not saying that you ought to re-decide every time. Let's see if I want to really... No, I'm not saying re-decide. I'm saying go back and visit the right decision again. Well, what I've told you right there will help you tremendously. We've got folks that after 1 year, they were saved, and after a year of being under preaching, they've never walked an aisle since then. Why? They made all the decisions they need to make, heard everything they need to preach. There's nothing for me to ever go forward and make a decision on. Listen, every time a truth's presented, just because it's not a new truth does not mean that it does not require a new reaction.
Amen.
Amen? And don't let things get old to you. You see, like I said, the first time it's interesting because of emotion, because of its novelty. The third, fourth, fifth, and 100th time, it's just as powerful, depending on your character. Yeah. And how many of you have seen the Rocky Mountains? Isn't that breathtaking? Remember the first time you ever saw the Rocky Mountains? First time? Well, let me tell you something. The 200th time you see them, they haven't diminished in grandeur. Why aren't you as impressed? Because the first time it was an emotional reaction. If you are just as impressed the 100th time, it's because of your character. You know why someone can be saved for 20-some-odd years or 30-some-odd years and hear preaching on the second coming and still say amen and still sit back there and weep and still come to an altar and say, oh, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and help me to be walking in such a way that it'll please you, and that doctrine still moves them? It's not because it's new. It's because they've made it a present truth. Boy, I want you to get that. So stop yawning when you hear something introduced again from the pulpit that you've heard before. And by the way, I seriously doubt that you got the full depth of it the first time. I mean, there's something about this book. I don't care what subject you want to take. Brother, every time you revisit it, there's something new and fresh. But we miss those new, fresh things. You know why? Because we've got this already heard that, already done that, know all about it attitude. And I'm going to tell you, folks, that is more prevalent in independent fundamental Baptist churches across this country than anybody wants to face. Now, why did what was Jesus displeased with concerning the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? They left their what? Amen. And so, if the Christian's life is not as exciting to you as it once was, it can be. You need to let repetition be your friend, all right? Number four, let me give you this. Repetition causes us to re-experience the emotion of an event or truth. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're there. Look at verse 13. Yea, and I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Stir you up. You know what repetition does? Repetition makes you remember something that you were once taught. And you know what? You can either remember the truth, you can just remember the truth, or if you want to, you can remember the experience of learning the truth. Boy, this is good. I know this is tough on a Wednesday night. Some of you look so tired, worn out. Amen. I mean, if I can just get through this sermon, maybe, you know, maybe I'll be able to get home and get something to eat. Is anything touching you? Amen. Come on. Wake up. This is good. See, I've heard it. I know that's your problem. You see, I can be reminded of a truth, or I can, listen, when you heard it the first time, anything the first time in Christian life that's powerful and good, it stirred you. Then why didn't it stir you the 10th time? Because you see, you're just revisiting the truth, but you're not revisiting the experience of learning the truth. I think there's some places you ought to revisit. I think there's some holy ground. I think Jacob said back to Bethel. I mean, he had some key spiritual points in his life. Folks, I think we ought to go back and visit some spots. About once a year, I'll meander my way north of Brazil and visit a little church out in the country. And I'll sit outside that church and walk around it. Did I tell you about the story when I broke into it? Did I tell you that story? I shouldn't have told you that story. That was a bad example. What was that? Tell us again. It's terrible, man. A little country church out in the middle of nowhere. A little clapboard church. I walk around it. Same entrance it had when we were going there. Same. You used to walk in this little small area, and then you got the church going, door going into the main church. I walk around it, revisit it, think about the memories, think about when I was saved. And usually, through the years, when I've gone there, it's always been unlocked, and I can go in there, and I can go over to the spot. I'd probably stand within 2 or 3 feet of where I was saved. You know what, brother? Now, I could go there and just remember, yeah, this is where I got saved. Oh, yeah, salvation. Isn't it wonderful? You know? Well, you laugh, but that's 90% of the people I preach to in my life. I'm serious. Now, I've heard this. Oh, yeah, that's good. Hallelujah. Why haven't you said amen in a year? Amen. I mean, even if I tell the same jokes, laugh again. But now I can stand there and just go through, methodically go through a mental process of reliving the events. Or I can let it stir me. I mean, I come here in a year. I'm sorry, next month, on a certain day, I'll visit this church by myself. And I'll go back and stand in the pew that I stood in the night that the invitation was being sung, that I walked up and surrendered to preach. I'll walk up here and kneel at the spot where I embraced my dad and surrendered my life to the gospel ministry. You know, maybe that's one of the reasons I'm still excited about it. I mean, listen, the whole idea of repetition and repeating something isn't to make it dull and vain and empty. It's supposed to do something inside of you. Folks, when we revisit great Bible doctrines, it ought to stir you. It oughtn't to bore you. It ought to stir you. You see, and really, again, it depends on your character. You see, I mean, anything's fun the first time. But the 100th time, it will only be fun if you have the character to realize how fun it is. Well, that's good. Amen. Repetition causes us to re-experience the emotion of the event or truth. That's why it says to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Look at verse 14 and 15. Let me give you the last point. Number one, repetition is the key to learning. Number two, repetition is for the benefit of those whom you are teaching. It's safe for them. So repeat, 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 repeat. Repetition helps establish truth. Number three, repetition helps establish truth in the heart of every believer. Number four, repetition causes us to re-experience the emotion of an event or truth. Stirs us up. Number five, repetition allows the truth you teach to live long after your death. Let me give you that again. Repetition allows the truth you teach to live long after your death. Let's read verse 14 and 15. I'm going to give you a little assignment, something to think about, and then we'll pray and we'll go to the house. Look at verse number 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. By the way, Sunday school teacher, are you thinking about this? One of these days someone else is going to teach your class. One of these days you're going to not be able to stand where you stood. Are you thinking about this? You know why some people have an urgency when they teach and some don't? Some of them realize that there's going to be a day they can't or won't be able to. Are you thinking about this? Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Boy, that's good. Now, we did some things today that brought this point home. It's interesting to teach this message after attending a funeral this afternoon. Because let me tell you, if God doesn't interrupt this whole thing, then one of these days the old bit's going to have our name on it. By the way, did you read that I died this week? Did you read that? Unbelievable. I've had the most exciting 2 or 3 days in my life. Some of you don't know what's going on, but let me tell you this. I was going to tell you Sunday night, and I got sidetracked, and I got home pretty late Sunday afternoon, and then we ate, and then I said, man, I'm beat. I really needed to get back to the office, but I decided to lay down and do one of those 30-minute power naps, you know. And what I found about them is they just, I don't know, they used to work, but now I don't have the power to quit after 30 minutes sometimes. But so after 30 minutes or 40 minutes, I got out of bed, and I'm walking in the living room, and it's just one of those where I went in a real deep sleep, and then I had to get up, so I dragged myself up, and I'm as I'm going in the living room, the phone's ringing, and I can't find the phone. Is that where y'all live? I can't find the phone. Now, it used to be, when we were growing up, it was attached to the receiver. It made life a lot easier. You know, you just went to where it was ringing and followed the cord. You know, now it could be anywhere. I can't find the phone. So I'm looking around, and I'm half asleep, and all of a sudden the answering machine kicks on. Oh, man. And, you know, hello, you meet the Ross residence. If you would like to leave a message for Jerry and Cheryl, press 1. If you would like to place an order for Ultimate Gold Publications, press 2. If you're one of the Tabitha's annoying little friends and you'd like to leave her a message, press 3. And that's what my answering machine says. All right, so I'm listening to all this. All of a sudden I hear doop, and all of a sudden this lady's voice comes on, and she said, "Hello, my name's such and such. I didn't catch her name. My name's such and such." And she said, "I'm calling from Good Morning America." And she said, Cheryl, I know this is a horrible time to call, and I understand why you're not answering the phone. I'm just standing there going like that. And she says, first of all, let me just tell you how sorry I am about the passing of your husband, Jerry. And I'm like, I know this is a horrible tragedy, and I understand you're not wanting to talk, but we need to make the public aware of this and educate the public. We'd like to interview you tomorrow morning on Good Morning America. And I finally find the phone, and I go click, and I say, hello? She says, is Cheryl there? And I said, yes, who is this? And she tells me her name, and I can't remember it. And she didn't repeat it. And she said, who's this? I said, this is Jerry Ross. And just gets quiet. And she said, I'm sorry, I think I have the wrong number. I said, don't you hang up. I said, I just listened to part of your message. What in the world's going on? She said, I'm sorry, sir. She said, I don't know if you've heard or not, but there was a Jerry Ross that was traveling down I-65 over by Seymour and got shot by some sniper. Some sniper shot him. Jerry L. Ross. Yeah, 40 years old. Southern Indiana. I'm going, wow. Wow. I said, you're kidding me. I'm going to give you goosebumps. Next day, I bought the paper. You know how strange that is? To read in the paper, Jerry L. Ross was shot. I'm like, oh my soul, I feel like I'm alive reading my obit. It was weird. It was crazy. And so I'm sitting here reading this, and then Monday they released the name of the guy. And the phone started ringing Monday. By the way, people that were concerned and loved me called to see if it was me. I didn't get one call from any member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Nobody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church called to find out whether or not it was me that was shot. Not one of you cared. Not a one of you. It's all right. I'm getting over it. I know how to deal with this stuff. Yeah, I know. No, it's too late. It's too late. No, that's fabricated. If you really would have cared, you would have called Monday. I got a call coming through a guy. Dr. Evans called Danny Club and says, you need to get a hold of Jerry Ross. I think he was shot. And then Dr. Evans from Hiles Anderson, he didn't call himself, but he called Danny, and Danny called down there. I was getting calls from the Sword of the Lord called. And do you realize how much fun I could have had with this? Oh, man. Well, I wish I would have known what was happening before Good Morning America called, because Monday, I would have been in New York. 5-star motel. Being interviewed by Good Morning America, posing as my brother. And then on live TV, I would have said, you know what, this is a joke. I'm actually Jerry Ross. By the way, thanks for the motel room. And me and Cheryl's going to go see the Statue of Liberty. Bye. You know, and, I mean, craziness. But, hey, you know the honest truth is? We're all going to come to an end. Now, well, watch this. I want to give you something before we go. Let me read this verse one more time before I say this. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor. Boy, that's powerful. You know what that means? He said, I have a plan. I have a plan that I'm going to carry out persistently and consistently. I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, we were at a funeral this afternoon. And Dad relived a lot of memories, his growing up memories of this, of Bob Alexander. He relived some things that the daughters had shared with him. He relived some things that the wife had shared with him. And at the end of that, he said, you know, we all have our memories. And how precious they are and how cherished they are. Now listen to me. Let me challenge you. Parents, let me challenge you something. Grandparents, let me challenge you with something. You can leave a lasting impression on your children and grandchildren. And by the way, you will leave a lasting impression on your children and grandchildren long after you're gone. You know, after I'm deceased, after I'm gone, I don't want my children to say, you know what, I'll tell you what, there's one thing about Dad, he sure could complain. You talk about a good complainer. I mean, no matter what the circumstance was, he'd find something to gripe. Yeah, that's Dad. Good old Dad, the complainer. I mean, you're going to leave something. You're going to leave something. Okay, but here's the idea that I want to give you. I want you to think this through. I want you to endeavor. Listen, we need to stop living by accident, with no plan. Paul talks about it as beating the air. I fight not as beating the air. And it's like we spend all our time swinging and never make contact. We don't have a plan. We run a race, but we don't know where we're going. And I think it's, man alive, don't you want to impact your family? Don't you want to impact the world? Don't you want to make it? Listen, after you're dead, wouldn't you like some things that you said or did to live in the lives of people after you? That is good and wholesome and meaningful. Now, I'm gonna challenge you to do something. I promise this will work. I promise you this will work. I could prove it even now. But I promise you this will work. I wish every person in this room would say, I'm going to take a piece of paper and I'm going to spend some time in prayer over this. And over the course of the next few weeks and months, I'm going to seek the face of God and I'm going to write down 10 truths that if all my children, my grandchildren only remembered 10 things about me or 10 things that I said, they would remember these 10. Forget 10. 5. Now, you say, well, how do you make that happen? You endeavor to make it so. You use repetition. By the way, some of you are already thinking, aren't you? You're thinking of grandma? And you're thinking, you know what thought do you have? What sentence do you remember? What saying do you remember? You know why you remember it? Not because she said it once. Because she said it over and over and over and over again. By the way, some of the things you remember are positive. Some of the things you remember might be negative. Some may be true, and some may be false. But I'm convinced of this. If I said Bob Jones Sr., Brother Randy, you know. Do right. Hey, you know what? If you couldn't give me a list of sermons, if you couldn't tell me where he was born, where he was buried, if you can tell me how many children he had, but you know what? You think of Bob Jones Sr., and you know what comes into your mind? Do right. Do right till the stars fall.
Amen.
You know why Bob Jones Sr. was a great communicator? Watch it. I think we're full of... See, sometimes we just want to give this volume of information. You know, we live in an information overload society. You know, folks, if you want somebody to remember what you say, you better simplify it. And you better repeat it. If you want people to remember long term what you said, you better, number one, simplify it. Number two, repeat it. Now think about this. Some of you have these little ones about like here. Okay, you've got, 16, 15, 14 years ahead of you. And when they're young adults, they can walk around and say, let me tell you something. When they see a certain situation or they're reminded of a certain event or they're faced with a certain decision, one saying that's connected with that decision will be repeated over and over, and they'll think, you know what? I know what Mom would have said about that. I know what Dad would say. I know what Grandpa Ogle said. I know what Grandpa Ross said. Are you thinking? And I think that if I was you, I would not worry about trying to leave them thousands of things to remember. I think I would say there's some important truths. You know, I quoted it. I listened to your sermon. By the way, Brother John, you did a great job last Wednesday night. I listened to that message. Great job. But you know what? I quoted it in a sermon recently, and you quoted it in that sermon. And he said in that sermon, Pastor Ross says, live with your eye on the judgment seat. Live with your eye on the judgment seat. I have a feeling that if God tarries and Pastor passes off the scene, and I'm still alive 30 or 40 years from now, I'm going to hear third or fourth generations down that will say, I know what Pastor Ross used to always say, live with your eye on the judgment seat. Now, you know what? They may never remember a whole message we preach. Probably won't. I always hate this. Ever have people come up and say, what did your preacher preach on last Sunday night? You know what? I hate it when they come to me and say, what did you preach on last Sunday night? I'm going, I don't know. Let me think. I know I preached on something. May not remember a whole volume. May not remember, but you know what? I think there's certain things that we ought to say. Why did God have 10 commandments and every one of them be about that short? How many people do you know that can quote? How many of you, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but how many of you feel like I'm pretty confident, brother, I can get 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10, probably 10 out of 10 of the Ten Commandments? Raise your hand. Well, how many of you can quote the book of Exodus? Come on, it's got a bunch of the law in it. Don't you think God kind of knew what he was doing? And I think that if I'm a mama and I got a little girl, and I'm not, but if I'm a mama and I got a little girl, and I'd say to her, and I'd think to myself, you know, this girl's 2.5 or 3 years old. Now, she's going to be, one of these days, be a young mother. Now, I want to leave something. What are the 5 or 6 areas? What about her relationship with God? What about her relationship with her husband? What about her care of her children? Look at the key areas. All right, what's the one truth? By the way, make it a truth. Make it something that's supported by the Bible. What can I do? What can I say that I can put into a simple sentence or a simple statement, and I'm just going to repeat it till their eyes roll right out of their heads? I'm going to repeat it when they start saying, "Mom, come on, I don't care, you're going to hear it again." But let me tell you something. One of these days when they attend your funeral and they're sitting around the casket and the preacher says, "What do you remember when you say, when you think about your mama? What do you remember?" By the way, preachers ask that for a reason. They sometimes want to share the thoughts of, from the pulpit and share some key memories. What do you remember? "Do right till the stars fall." I remember Grandma Ogle saying, "Never forget," said this to the girls, "never forget, pretty is as pretty does. Pretty is as pretty does." Now, why do I remember that? You know why? Because she said it over and over and over. She said a lot of the things over and over I can't repeat, but she's... Just kidding. I'm kidding about that. I'm kidding. You've never seen... I'm done. But if I could videotape one thing in my life and have it forever, it would be Mom, Lenny, and Grandma Ogle, and Lori playing a game of Sorry. There is no way to describe it. Honestly, whatever you're thinking right now, you're not even close. They're running through rooms, screaming, throwing at each other. "Don't put me back. Put you. She's closer to..." I mean, they're standing the whole time. It was the most amazing thing I've ever... And that has nothing to do with the message. A lot of sweet things. A lot of sweet memories. Now listen, folks, this is good. If you can comprehend and remember and put this back somewhere, it's going to help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to gather around your word. Thank you for the depths of the truths of your word. How many times do we run by a little statement like this in the Bible and we just think it's filler, I guess? Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. We all want to be students. We all want to learn. We all want to be better. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to rejoice in repetition, not be bored by it. Rejoice in repetition. Help all of us that are trying to pass on something from God to a generation that's following us. Help us to take and grab hold of this extremely important and key truth, and that'll benefit each and every one of us, Lord, and help us not to be afraid to repeat the obvious. Cheerfully repeat truth over and over and over again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.